This is North Sound One Friday Sports.
Welcome, and the next 60 minutes bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, whilst almost everyone is preparing to down tools and enjoy a much-needed festive break, the Dons are gearing up for a packed Christmas. Two home games in a four-day period following a trip to Highland Neighbours in Inverness tomorrow evening. Thanks for scheduling that one in the evening, TV types. What were you thinking? Certainly not of anyone making the journey. Right over for now. However, the very latest from both camps ahead of Inverness versus Aberdeen, and we'll check in on the rest of the Scottish Premiership too, as well as news from the Highland League, Balmoa and beyond, including rugby and more ahead of the in-demand top 30 on the North East number one for sport across the region before seven. Stay with us.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound One.
First, though, as always, to Pittodrie and boss Derek McInnes here with Cammy Smith as he pledged his long-term future to the club.
I think it's terrific news. No, I'm delighted that Cammy sees his future with us long term, and you know, to get a young, talented boy full of potential with the work ethic of Cammy, it's good news for the club. And for the next 3.5 years, he's getting that opportunity to be the player we hope he can be, and we have every confidence we can get that from him.
Obviously, I'm over the moon to sign, and you're saying about convincing. It didn't take a lot of convincing. As soon as the manager pulled my side, it was straight yeah, basically. And myself and my family are just delighted to sign up and hopefully help bring success to the club.
Evening, you're on North Sound One Friday Sport. Joining me tonight, back in the first team, Andrew Shiney, as we've had a Davectomy. Don't worry, Dave fans, they'll both be back for our Red TV coverage of the game tomorrow evening. But in the meantime, Andrew, another encouraging signing extension, I think. You'll know from years of being around the club, Cammy Smith has been a player, probably the player who the old pros have always pointed to and said something along the lines of, that lad's got a wee chance. And it turns out they were right. Right move for club and player, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's very encouraging to hear a young player decide to commit his future longer term to playing here and learning his trade. That's the important
before
thing.
Before he goes away.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen guys go away from Pittodrie, and the question is, where are they now? I mean, there's Fraser Fivey, went on loan to Yeovil. That loan spell didn't last any time at all. He's back at Wigan. He'll be languishing in the reserves there. Jack Grimmer, almost unheard of down at Fulham. Chris Maguire, you know, he was a Scotland international, and he's just disappeared. He's at Coventry, I think, now, is he?
Been sent to Coventry.
Sent to Coventry. But Cammy, I think, realises that, you know, there's good things happening at Pittodrie, and if he's patient, which he's going to have to be because there's such a good first-team squad there, he will get his chance and he will learn. And when you're playing or training alongside guys like Willow Flood and Barry Robson, you're bound to pick up stuff that is going to benefit your career. From what I've seen of him, he looks a really good player. I think Craig Brown famously described him as having the potential talent of a Dennis Bergkamp and the physique of a Joe Harper. Two pretty good role models, I would suggest, to follow.
Physique of Joe Harper as a player, as opposed to a player. Possibly...
Not the one that I shook hands with in the corridor at Charlie last Saturday.
I should just add, a contract extension being signed by goalie Danny Rogers yesterday as well, but the focus perhaps understandably centering on Cammy because we've seen more of him in the first team. In terms of where exactly his long-term position lies at the club, what berth do you see him ultimately making his own?
I think possibly that Dennis Bergkamp type role, you know, in the hole behind the striker. I don't think he's going to be a main striker, but somebody playing off the striker who can link between midfield and attack. He's got bags of ability, got great technique. He seems to have a very sound head on young shoulders. I think the sky's the limit for Cammy Smith. But as I say, he will have to be patient. But the great thing is Derek McInnes knows that if called upon, Cammy Smith will produce the goods for him.
Bit like someone like Fraser Fivey before him, he does seem to have a really wise and possibly older than his years footballing brain already in operation there.
Yeah. I think any time you see him, you think, you know, that's a fair player, that. I wonder, you know, and perhaps it's been a little bit unkind to him that he hasn't had more opportunities at top team level, but I think we've got to bow to the superior knowledge of the coaching staff at Pittodrie. He's only 18. Let's not forget that. I mean, he made his debut a couple of years ago, but he is still a youngster. He's still learning. I think you mentioned to me off air that, you know, he's got bigger. It's part of the growing process, but it's with the sports science that they've got at Pittodrie now, you know that he's going to grow the right way. He's not going to end up like wee Joe, who was Big Joe when he came back after pre-season, and then eventually, by about October time, shrank back down to wee Joe. But no, he's got a tremendous future ahead of him, and long term, he could be as good a player as some of those that have been mentioned, as him being like Ian Jess, for example.
Yeah, and like I say, not just a good move for him, but a good move for the club, in so much as it's a good bit of business, back business, isn't it? Because the longer that he's signed to the club, the more chance you have of making money on him.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why all clubs are going to try and tie up their young players to ensure that, you know, if they go out of contract, they can go away. You're going to get a small token sort of payment to cover their development costs. But if you have them under contract and they stay there, they develop, then in the fullness of time, you may be able to sell them down south for big bucks. And let's be honest, there's no club in Scotland that's not a selling club.
No, exactly. Slightly sporadic usage of Aberdeen Mad this week for most because of a few technical bits and bobs. But the topic on the subject of Cammy Smith penning that deal, and in Dave's absence, we'll give it a bash. He has prepared it for me. Yeah. Thank you, Dave. First to some high praise from Dumfries Sheep 94, who says, the most technically gifted youngster I've seen in my lifetime. Brilliant news, adds Kieran Red. From SM's W, another cracking youngster signed up. From Hilton 82, magic news, well happy with this, local lad. But if Dumfries Sheep is on about players that have played for Aberdeen, he could be right. I guess he is a young loon and is going on what he's seen playing in Red. Dumfries Sheep replies, I was talking about players who have played for Aberdeen. I was too young to remember the likes of Ian Jess, and since then, there hasn't been a player of that calibre. But I think Cammy has the ability to be as good as Jess. In the League Cup game against Falkirk, Langfield took a goal kick and Cammy brought it down beautifully with his right foot. It was an unbelievable bit of skill. Dundee United may have mini Messi, but we have baby Bergkamp. Benchmaster adds, when he first got into the team, he tended to try and do everything, but actually not do much, as in he'd try and beat one too many players. He'd play the wrong ball in, and everything was very rushed. But what I've seen of him this season, he's got a bit of composure and looked very good. Keep signing up the young lads, Derek. Always good to see bright prospects commit their future to the club. That from Jack Dawn. While Mr. Grieve wants Nicky Lowe tied up on a long-term deal next. What do you think of that one, Andy?
Yeah, Nicky Lowe, he's an incredible player, Nicky. I mean, on Saturday past, he came on to replace Barry Robson, I think it was, and he just took on the Robson mantle, running around, bossing everybody about. Mm-hmm. I described him as being a miniature version of Willow Flood. Now, it's hard to believe you can get a miniature version of Willow because Willow is diminutive in stature.
He's actually not that small when you see him. He's not that small.
He's not tiny.
You think Nicky, of him as Nicky, absolutely
Nicky is.
That. No, I know Nicky is.
Nicky's
yeah.
very small, but you know, he's got a fantastic engine, a fantastic attitude and enthusiasm about him. You see him out jumping guys who are 6 foot plus, and Nicky must be 5'5" or something like that, 5'6" maximum. That's all about and wanting to. It's, you know, determination, attitude,
desire.
Exactly. He's got all those in abundance and no little skill. Like Cammy Smith, he's another one who probably will have to bide his time a little bit before he gets regular first-team football. But
he's already gone out on loan a couple of times,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, and benefited from that. I believe he matured a great deal at both as a person and as a player in the time that he was away. And Aberdeen are reaping the rewards for that. And no, I think he will be very much on Derek McInnes's radar when it comes to signing youngsters up in long-term deals.
We also appreciate your thoughts and comments here on North & One's Friday Sport. You can take part in our weekly topic and poll on an average week, aside from technical gremlins, from about midweek onwards. The poll is on the subject of Michael Hector again, because he keeps being newsworthy. That's to come later, but for now, let's deal with the matter in hand in tomorrow's match in Inverness. Here's the boss again.
I think I said prior to the game last time here at Pittodrie that if we finish above Inverness this season, we've had a good season. I've no doubts about that. I think they've shown that level of consistency and competitiveness that has got them into the top six in the last couple of seasons. And, you know, there's a lot right about Inverness, and it's a good story. But it's a tough game for them as well. You know, we won a hard-fought game here at Pittodrie. It was there was not a lot in the game. You know, I thought we were excellent in the first half and probably should have been in front. I thought we were the better team. And the second half was a bit more even, and just when we thought it looked as if we had ran out of ideas to score a goal, Scott Vernon pops up and gets the all-important winner. So it was a thin line between winning and losing the game in the end up, and we managed to get the win, and hopefully we can have something similar. But we know it's going to be hard fought. It's going to be we're going to have to deal with their threat. But I think they're expecting a competitive match, and that's exactly what they're going to get. We obviously want to go there and get a result, a positive result, you know. But regardless if we win, lose, or draw the game, it's not going to affect of having any real outcome and who finishes second, third in the league. You know, there's loads of points to be won, but there's 3 points on Saturday. We want all three of them, and we've got with the mindset that we can do that. But you know, we're facing an Inverness team who'll be fully motivated, desperate to show who's boss and put us in our place, and we fully expect a tough match. But like I said, they'll be getting one as well. I don't think John will look to change too much too soon. You know, different when you go into a club where maybe results aren't great, and there's been a change of manager. But like you said, things have been going well for them, and I think Yogi's even said that, you know, there's no real need to change things. I think he'll be looking for that improvement as he goes along, and obviously the personnel's the same there. They've got a way of playing Inverness that suits them. You know, they really put you under pressure and ask questions of you. They've got some good players there. So I'm sure, like John has said, you know, he's been delighted with the quality of player, the type of player he's inherited. And as I say, Inverness is a good story. They fell short last year a wee bit, possibly from what they maybe were hoping for in terms of lost a semi-final. They probably should have won. Just missed out in Europe in the last game of the season, but nobody can deny that Inverness has been a fantastic story, and you know, I think that John will now look to go and try and take that on.
There's 3 points on Saturday and we want all of them, so says Derek McInnes, as well as Inverness being a great story. We'll get on to Inverness and in particular Big Yogi in a bit, Andrew, but with the manager changeover complete and Derek insisting there's no need to really change anything, is it a good time to get them? Will there be little differences that the players are noticing, for instance? Is there a chance that they might be slightly out of kilter and the 3 points will be there for the taking?
Well, I believe he's going to play Billy Mackay in goals. So that's our best chance. No, I think it's one of those things that if it ain't broke, why mend it? Mm. And Yogi's not going to go in there and change things dramatically. He's of a very similar character to Terry Butcher. And he will immerse himself 100% in that club. As he's said already on the Cali Thistle's YouTube channel, it was interesting hearing him talk on there. He's you know what Yogi is. He's very passionate. And he's not going to change much. I mean, there hasn't been much change about Cali Thistle this season, to be honest. I mean, I was just looking through the stats, and they've got 9 players who've started every game.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's amazing consistency of team selection, and it signifies that they've been perhaps a little bit fortunate with injuries. You're not going to get suspensions kicking in just yet, because I think it's 6 bookings you've got to get before you pick up a suspension. But there are a number of them who are sitting on 4 bookings. There's a number who are sitting on 3. So there's 5 games coming up in a short period of time. That consistency of selection could be affected either A, by injury, or B, by suspensions. And that would be the thing that would throw them out of kilter. But as they are at the moment, I think it's a tried and trusted formula that they've stuck to all season. They don't give away many goals. I mean, they haven't conceded a goal in their last 464 minutes. That's more than 5 games that they've played without a goal against. But then we haven't conceded in 12 or 16 games this season. So you would think that there's not going to be a lot between the sides. But you've got 2 goal scorers there in Billy Mackay and Niall McGinn. Ironically, both Northern Irishmen. It's a pity they're not both Scots, because then that would solve Gordon Strachan's goal-scoring problem straight away. Billy Mackay, 87 appearances, 45 goals. Niall McGinn, 57 appearances, 29 goals. There's actually 9/1000ths of a percentage between their 2 goal-scoring ratios.
It's basically Mackay, a goal every other game, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. It's a fantastic record, particularly for provincial clubs. So, no, I think the 3 points are there to be taken by the side that wants it most. But I fancy the Dons because, you know, they've really got
The bit between their teeth.
Since the setbacks against Hearts and Celtic, they've shown what they're made of. But Cali will say, well, hey, we don't lose a lot. We've got the best home record in the Premiership. Come on in, try and take us on.
This next period through the festive season is important for every club, isn't it? I mean, there are a lot of games coming, as you say, in a pretty short spell. And it's going to really mix things up a little bit, isn't it?
It will do. And this is where you've got to have a strong squad. And I think that's where Aberdeen could shade it, because you're only as strong as your reserves. Look at what we've got on our bench. We've got a fantastic bench at the moment. And it's populated by players who have got experience, they've also got ability, and they've got desire. Because they know that if they can come in off that bench and really produce the goods, they could get first team football, whereas a lot of other clubs, you know, they're struggling to actually make up numbers on the bench. Some clubs, Hearts for example, struggling to get a first team together.
Yeah.
But you're looking at, you know, Weaver, Shaughnessy, Lowe, Wild, McGuinness, Zola and Hayes. That was the bench last week.
Yeah.
There's not many clubs in the SPFL can boast a stronger bench. So that's where I think Aberdeen are really well situated for the hectic period that's coming up.
Not that I'm trying to draw you on your full team at this stage in the game, we'll leave that for later, but the last couple of matches, Scott Vernon started up top in place of Calvin Zola. I think it's made a big difference to the team in terms of link-up play and what we can offer going forward. Do you agree? Would you keep him in there?
Definitely, without question. I mean, I think, you know, Big Calvin has had a decent run in the side. We've seen what he's capable of doing, but down at St Johnston and then at St Mirren at Pittodrie last week, we saw Scott Vernon. He's more mobile. He's got a better ability to bring other people into the game. He can hold the ball up. He scores goals.
That goal that he scored, I think you could start Calvin Zola all season long and I doubt that he would score a similar type of goal.
It's all about what we've said so many times tonight, desire. Yeah. You saw that. Mark McCausland didn't deal with the long clearance. He allowed it to bounce. The wind then caught it. Marion Kello's come trying to clear up things. Scott Vernon went in there knowing that he had a keeper and a centre-half both closing in on him. He could easily have got battered, black and blue in there, but he got a toe into the ball, got it past the keeper, knocked it into the back of the net. Now, he got that one. He could have had a hat-trick easily in the game. There was the one that I think the SPFL's website described it as a one-yard howler of a miss.
That was
harsh. I mean, when you see it again, McCausland, who had a bit of a nightmare of a game, actually managed to get some kind of touch on the ball that deflected it away behind Scott Vernon, which meant that his feet were all wrong going in for the ball. And it hit Scott rather than he hit it.
But even if he'd hit it with any other part of his body, it would have gone in.
It probably would have gone in. I mean, I'm sure Scott looked back on it and thought, that was a good chance. But then he was in the right place. And that's where I think he possibly gives you more than Calvin does. Calvin, you don't often see him in there missing a chance. Scott, you do see him in there. And, okay, you'll miss a few, but if you're in there, if you keep on buying the tickets, you're going to win the raffle eventually.
You've watched the Dons for as long as I can remember, including the last time we won a trophy, which was nigh on 20 years ago. We know because we were both there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was smuggled into Hampden in the boot of a car that day, an early run-through for the Steve Patterson reverse trip some years later. But in all that time, is this the best a Don team's looked since, still challenging in all competitions?
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, there's a confidence, there's a real feel-good factor permeating through Pittodrie and the Red Army at the moment. It's taken a bit of time, and people are having...
said about 20 years.
Yes, plus. and we've suffered some pretty horrendous setbacks in those decades. But, I think Derek McInnes is doing a fantastic job there, and I'm pleased to see that everybody's buying into his vision of how the Dons should play. There have been occasions in the past where if you pass the ball in your own half four times, 20,000 folk, well, no, 8,000 people, because there weren't that many folk there, were right on top of them going, get it up the park. And they'd rather see an aimless punt up the park because they thought, hey, we're attacking. Whereas Derek it's almost like a game of chess at times. You know, they'll pass it around and they'll wait until somebody in the opposition loses concentration and an opening appears. But there's players good enough now to be able to pass that ball into that space to create something. I think he's got a really nice balance about the side. The spine is very good. Langfield, for all his critics, has got a tremendous record in the SPFL this year. He's doing a great job in goals. Russell is just being Russell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the Russell Anderson of 15 years
ago. It is
almost
back to the stage now where Russell, when he played here the first time, was embarrassed because he practically needed to have a winery built downstairs at his home. He was getting the man of the match champagne every single week.
Yeah.
And he was embarrassed by it, but it's almost back at that level, isn't it? He got man of the match last weekend.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fantastic professional, Russell Anderson. And he's using all his experience to help the guys round about him. He's a great captain of the club. He's a great organiser. And, you know, I just can't speak highly enough of Russell, and I'm delighted that he's had no injuries apart from that funny one. Yeah, that he got with Declan catching his finger and Declan McManus's shirt in training. But as he said, it's not a worry, that type of injury to him, because he's had so many long-term bad ones that a little thing like that's not going to put Russell off. But you've got Russell there. You've got Barry and Willow in the middle of the park. You've also got Ryan Jack, who is playing like a veteran in there. And then you've got somebody like Scott Vernon up front. So the spine of the side is very good. And round about, you've got really solid, good pros. Guys like Andy Considine, Mark Reynolds, Michael Hector, for the period that he's going to be with us, Joe Shaughnessy, Johnny Hayes, Peter Pollock, who's been a revelation this season, and Niall McGinn. Now, if you've got players of that ability, then I would argue that that's commensurate, if not better, than the side that beat Dundee all those years ago when we were hanging out of the roof of Hampden.
Trying to tangle a cable down so that you can record a broadcast, yeah. More in the big game in just a moment, including chat from Cammy Smith and your thoughts regarding the recall of Michael Hector by Reading in our weekly poll. The rest of the SPL fixtures previewed in full too. Ahead of that match tomorrow evening in Inverness. Remember, the entire match live with us tomorrow as always, from a very Red perspective, and Red TV at afc.co.uk. In position, the North Sun 1 commentary team, the two Daves and Andrew Shiney, with the full match freezing as the wind comes in off the Murray Firth. Wouldn't fancy travelling across the Keswick Bridge. Fortunately, you don't have to unless Dave G takes a wrong turn. But if you can't be with us online, keep up with the things on North Sun 1. Alisa on Gossip and Goals, the latter part. We'll bring you all the talking points and up to date with the scoreline as it happens. Directly ahead, more from the Dons and tomorrow's opposition, plus the rest of the weekend action in full on the way moments. So North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
North Sun 1, the official station of the Dons, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
Tomorrow evening in the Highlands, our feature game is Inverness versus Aberdeen. And if Derek McInnes was complimentary about Inverness, his new opposite number is just as flattering about Derek.
Good, bad or indifferent, every experience is an experience that you take into your next job, and Derek seems to have done that. Just got in there, and he's, you know, he's really took that to Aberdeen, and he's got a focus that where they want to go.
Let's take a minute to look at Big Yogi. Always entertaining, I think. And 50% of the time, he probably is completely unintentional about it. He's got into the job at Inverness, big shoes to fill. And it might sound strange in saying this. You kind of mentioned it earlier. In John Hughes, Inverness have probably signed one of the closest replacements they could get to Terry Butcher. He's a big, honest guy. He's going to live and breathe the football club in the Highlands. He'll throw himself in there, won't he? It's all he knows. A good signing for them?
Yeah, I think it is. A good, very good fit for that particular job. I think in the past he's sort of played a brand of football that you wouldn't expect from John Hughes, because being old enough to remember when Yogi was a player, he was uncompromising, shall we say. He was your old-fashioned stopper centre-half. First job, get
the
ball clear.
Put them over the top of the stand.
And if you kind of get the ball clear, make sure you get the man clear. but no, he's, as you say, he will immerse himself totally in that job. I think he'll be part of the fabric of Inverness in the area. He will make sure that he touches base with all the fans' groups. He will integrate himself into their activities and all sorts, and I don't know that he'll make a lot of changes. It will be interesting in the transfer window to see, you know, whether some of the suitors will come calling for Billy Mackay. You know, 15 goals already this season. You can't ignore that. And equally, I would suggest that the Cali Thistle board wouldn't be able to ignore a big bid for him. But Yogi may have some of his favourite players on his radar. That tends to happen. You know, you'll get players that will come in and you'll think, you know, why did he come here? I played for Yogi at Hartlepool, or he played for him at Falkirk and has moved on somewhere else in the interim. So you may see one or two changes, but I don't think you'll see a lot of change up there. Terry Butcher, through Steve Marcella, I think, had a terrific contact network down south.
Which has now gone with him to Easter Road.
Which has gone to Easter Road, exactly. But, you know, every season there would be all these names that you'd never heard of from clubs you'd never heard of. And you thought, that's it, Cali are going down the Swanee this year. And it turned out that they were all very, very good players. And they gelled together and they formed this cohesive team unit that has been so successful. Whether Yogi can keep that going will remain to be seen, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
So the game for tomorrow, we mentioned him at the beginning of the show after extending his stay at Tuddery, but Cammy Smith is aware of the media focus suggesting that for him, Inverness is quite a happy hunting ground.
Obviously, it's got to be a tough game. They're above us in the league, and if we win, we can, I think, it's joint on points with them, so the incentive's there, but we know how hard it's got to be up there. Yeah, I've done well up there for us, so obviously I got my debut under Craig Brown. In my first year full time up there, so I got the goal last season, which really kicked me off into the first team. So it's just another pitch, another stadium to me. Obviously, people have seen I've made my debut and scored there, but it doesn't make a difference going up on Saturday. We know how tough a game it's got to be, so the manager and the staff will just prepare us in the best ways they always do. Obviously, if you're wanting to finish as high up the league as you can, you need to win at hard places like that. And we've proven so far this season we can go away from home and win at hard places, so there's no reason so why we can't do that. So this weekend, so it'll be, like as I say, it'll be a really hard game, and Inverness will be setting out to not let us go above them, and I'm sure their new manager will be preparing their players just as much as our manager will be ours for a really game. So it's setting up for a really tough game.
We'll get on to the teams in just a moment or two. First, let's check in with you directly again. Well, kind of. For the weekly poll via Aberdeen Mad for Northern One's Friday Sport. News this week, of course, that Michael Hector's being recalled by Reading because of an injury situation there, causing them to rethink the plans slightly for now. So I understand that may again change and he could be allowed back for, say, the remainder of the season. And with that in mind, we wanted to know, do you think it's important that Aberdeen get Michael Hector back from Reading in January? Regrettably, we still can't tell you because the site's availability is intermittent at best just now. But in your opinion, Andrew, he'd be an asset you'd want to retain for as long as possible, for sure. But does the club have adequate strength and depth to get by without him now?
Yeah, I think they do, because you've got Joe Shaughnessy, who can step in to play at right back. You've got Ryan Jack, who can go and play at right back. And we've just been listening to him, Cammy Smith, who could come in and do the job that Ryan Jack does in the middle of the park. So I think Aberdeen could comfortably survive without Michael Hector, but I think Derek would be more than happy to have Michael return north from Reading to see out the rest of the season. I think Michael himself would walk up from Reading to Aberdeen because he loves it up here. He's getting first-team football. He feels he's improving as a player. And Reading, I think, are delighted with the fact that they've put a young player up here who's playing at a decent level of football and who's improved markedly.
They're getting
as a
return
player.
On the move, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's not a disaster for the Dons if he doesn't come back up, but it would be very nice to see him return.
As always, if you'd like to get involved, then do. Our topics and polls are online from around midweek onwards in any given week. You'll find them at Aberdeen Mad when it's working properly. And then here's some of you chatting the show at the weekend right here on North Swan's Friday Sport. Let's get on to the teams for tomorrow. It's predicted Derek time. The 11 men who you think will start for the Dons against Inverness. Andrew.
Well, I'm just going to go for the same starting 11 as last week. So it'll be Langfield, Hector Anderson, Considine Reynolds, Jack Flood, Robson, Pollitt, McGinn and Vernon.
The one to watch, the man who'll potentially make the difference to the result
for the Dons?
The one who's going to lead the team out, I think, is the man who will make sure that we battle our way to 3 points, hopefully tomorrow. Big Russell has been inspirational, as I say, both on and off the park. But tomorrow you would anticipate that he's going to have Billy Mackay to deal with. And I have no worries at all about Russell being capable of looking after Billy Mackay, keeping him quiet and taking some of the pressure off Aberdeen. And who knows, Russell might find himself up in the opposition box. It's a while since he scored for Aberdeen. I know he'd love to. So Russell's my man to watch tomorrow.
Finally, a scoreline for the match, Inverness versus Aberdeen.
Well, first of all, I'll give you Dave McDermott's scoreline because he phoned me specially this morning to tell me.
Merry Christmas!
So Dave, very conservatively, is going for 1-0 Aberdeen.
Really?
Really?
I think something's maybe happened to him. Maybe someone changed his medication or something, but it's you know, it's not the same mix of McDermott that we used to get.
No. I think he's sort of still trying to recover from trying to persuade people that 1-3 versus Hearts is the same as 5-0-4 against Hearts. But I'm going to go for 2-0 Aberdeen, and I see it being a very similar game to the one down at St Johnstone, where we'll score in the opening 20 minutes, we'll then have to soak
absorb a lot
of pressure, and then we'll score one on the breakaway with 10 minutes, 5 minutes to go, just to kill the game off.
I think similar, but I think we'll concede as well. I'm going 2-1.
Okay,
to the other games then. Rarity indeed last weekend when they all kicked off at 3 on a Saturday afternoon. Back to the new normality this week. Varying playing times. The first game of the weekend is at Celtic Park. Neil Lennon's team face Hearts. Celtic with a blow ahead of that one with the news Mikael Lustig is set to miss the next 4 months of the season after a double hip operation. Boss Lennon says in the long term getting the op was the best thing for the player.
We had a good result last week, if not performance. You know, there was fatigue there, obviously, from their exertions on the Wednesday before. So we've had a free week, and I think the players will get the benefit of that, and I think they'll be looking forward to getting out and playing. Hearts will have their own agenda to try and be hard to beat. We've got to find a way of breaking that down.
The last time Hearts and Celtic met, the Jambos were turned over 7-0 at Tynecastle. They've got a bigger injury crisis now, so they'll be looking forward to this like a dose of the turkey trots. And Hearts assistant boss Billy Brown says an away match against Celtic is always going to be tough.
It's obviously more in the spotlight with the previous result in the Scottish Cup. A very difficult game, it's always difficult, but we've prepared as meticulous as we usually do, and go there and be as positive as we can.
As meticulous as we usually do when we have 7 or 8 players available to us.
Mm-hmm.
Celtic v Hearts, Andrew.
Well, when you look at the past record, Celtic won their last 6 against Hearts, scoring 24, and I think that 24 could go pretty close to 34 tomorrow. I think if Celtic are in the same vein of form as they were at Tynecastle, that 9-0 that we suffered down the road a couple of years ago could be consigned to the rubbish bin as not the worst score in the Premier League. It all depends on what Celtic want to do, because I don't think Hearts are going to be able to present any sort of obstacle to Celtic winning that game.
Jackie McNamara is backing his men to thrive in the growing expectation amongst Dundee United fans. His team are on a hot scoring streak with 21 goals in their last 5 games. And the manager is full of praise for the players' attitude and hunger. Now, this is telling. Ross County defender Scott Boyd says they're hoping for a change in fortunes.
We've just been unfortunate a lot this season. Obviously, we have made a lot of changes. We can't make any excuses. We're out there playing. We've been prepared well. So we just have to get out there and do the business now, and hopefully things can turn for us.
Now, I don't know whether Derek Adams was sent up for the media conference or not. I suspect he might not have been. But I'm wondering, averaging 4 a game, and I don't know, I'm not sure if I'd bet against 4 more here. So how's it going to go when Dundee United host Ross County?
Well, Ross County have never won at Tannadice, but the last 3 times they've been down there, they've drawn. Although, you have to say, on current form, it's a home banker, but is the bubble going to burst at some point for United? Maybe not tomorrow.
Let's hope it's on the 1st of
January. Oh, I'll be burst and gone by then.
Hibs are at home to St Johnstone, and defender Paul Hanlon says the whole team is to blame for the lack of goals of late, not just the strikers.
It's a team responsibility to put the ball in the net. We, as defenders, were forward more than enough times a game to try and put the ball in the net, corners and free kicks, things like that. So, we all need to be trying to chip in as much as we can. Can't just rely on the strikers too much.
St Johnstone boss Tommy Wright happy to have a fully fit squad.
You know, we're looking forward to the game. Coming into a period where I think in 9 days with four games, it's important to have everybody fit, and, you know, that's what we have at the minute.
Hibs v St Johnstone, Andrew.
Yeah, as Paul Hanlon says, they don't score goals, Hibs. One goal in their last six league games. St Johnstone have won three of the last five at Hibs, but only three of their last 18 away games. So, with Terry Butcher being there and an upturn in Hibs' fortunes, I'm going to say that Hibs are going to sneak that one, but only 1-0 because they don't score goals.
In the other games, a battle of the Allens, Kilmarnock versus Partick's Archibald. Killy v Partick, Andrew.
Difficult one, this. Two sides who are really struggling. Interesting to see that Isaac Osborne is going to be missing for 8 weeks with an ankle injury. That's a big loss for Partick Thistle. And as an aside, I noticed that his brother Isaiah, ex of Hibs, now at Blackpool, has got a hamstring injury. So he's out for 5 weeks. So the brothers are going to be back home for Christmas and New Year, I think.
Yep.
I'm going to sit in the fence and just say it's going to be a share of the spoils and not particularly entertaining fair down at Rugby Park.
Finally to Fir Park, where Motherwell host St Mirren boss Stuart McCall hopefully can extend the loan spells of both Henri Agnier and Lionel Ainsworth. He's planning to work with chief executive Leanne Dempster over the next few weeks to extend their deals beyond the first half of January. But McCall doubts anything else will happen next month.
We'll be in discussions to, you know, about them two boys, but I wouldn't imagine there'll be lots of incomings. And then when that's the case, then you've just got to, you know, hopefully keep your squad fit.
I don't think St Mirren looked that bad last weekend, Andrew. And, you know, credit to Danny Lennon when his side were going through that really bad spell, because as much as we poke fun at him and took the mickey out of him, he didn't once hide or shirk his responsibilities. He's always been front and centre to speak to the media. So Motherwell against St Mirren.
Yeah, I thought for long periods St Mirren played some really decent football. Although they didn't have much of a cutting edge. I know that Danny Lennon felt that the goal in the seventh minute for Stephen Thompson should have stood, but I think when you see it in TV again, the fullback had just gone a wee bit early. But credit to him, both the fullbacks got forward a lot against Aberdeen and played well. But I'm going to go for a home win because of the fact that Motherwell, in the nine games that they've played against the bottom six sides this season, have won all those games. So I think I'm going to just have Motherwell shading it, but I think that one could be quite entertaining. But once again, how many folk are going to turn up at Fir Park?
Not very many. It's Lots of Ones Friday Sport. We've got rugby and more football to come. That's first with a full preview of the games elsewhere. As next, we turn our attention to Balmoa and Jim McAnally directly ahead on Friday Sport from North San Juan.
North San Juan with the best preview of the weekend sport action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
In Scotland's League Two, Peterhead dropped a couple of points at home to Albion Rovers last weekend and slipped back to second place. Tomorrow back at Balmoor, Jim McAnally's men face the club in third, Stirling Albion.
Stirling, for me, one of the kind of main competitors. I think they'll be, they're an experienced side, they've got a lot of experienced players. You know, they'll be knocking at the door, so, you know, it'd be a big, big game to win because it would put a wee gap in between us.
Yeah, I mean, so many sides, as we know, just packed in together, just getting a little bit of consistency, getting two or three wins back to back, that can make a heck of a difference, can't it?
Of course it would. I mean, we've done that, but we need to do it again. And I think if you could do it once more, then you would certainly maybe put one or two teams to bed, because the cutthroat nature of the league means it's going to be hard for everybody to make up ground, you know. And I think it would be great. You know, if we could win on Saturday, I just feel as though Saturday's a really big game to win. If we could win, it would put a gap between, you know, Bells and Clyde, and there'd be probably a wee gap to the rest, you know. So I think that would be good and put pressure on other teams to try and catch us up, and pressure's never easy.
In the Houghton League, Brora joint top in 40 points with Fermartin, but with a couple of games in hand over their rivals. Tomorrow they welcome Fraserburgh. Cove will leapfrog rivals Buckie if they can claim a home win. Forest host a Clash side which put away Lossie 5-0 last weekend. Huntly make the long trip to perennial strugglers Fort William. Inverurie Locos host Rothes at Harlow. Steve Patterson's from Martin United side on the road to Keith.
Well, it's a game that we'll be obviously expected to win, but just a, you know, a case of be on your guard and get your attitude right.
It's really tight at the top still, just goal difference separating Brora and yourselves. Are you hopeful Wick Academy can do you a favour at Brora on Saturday?
Well, I think the derbies are, you know, can be pivotal, you know, in terms of all the challenging clubs. We've got difficult games, so I think the main thing is really to try and focus on your own results.
Third place now and travel to face Lossiemouth. Strathspey are at home to Turriff United, and ahead of that, Sutherland Derby next weekend. Wick hosts Devonville in the juniors, Andrew.
In the juniors in the PMAC Group Super League, it's Cooter against Maud and FC Stonywood against Devon Side. In the PMAC Group First Division West, Isle of Ale against Bucky Rovers and Port Gordon Victoria against Fochabers. So not quite so much travelling for the juniors. I see the schedulers for the Highland League have got some Boskers in there. You know, Wick hosts Devon Vale. Huntley go to Fort William.
You're an awesome one's Friday Sport. Still to come ahead of the in-demand top 37. We focus on rugby and the English Premier League. Keep it North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
North Sun 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmore and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
In England, the last Premier League match before Christmas is a bit of a treat, and there's plenty on managerial uncertainty as the busy festive schedule gets going. Richard Newman looks ahead for North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
Here starts four matches for each club in just 12 days. For some teams, they're cramming those games into even less time, but for the fans, there's plenty to look forward to. Not least leaders Arsenal's game with fellow title contenders Chelsea on Monday. Here's Jose Mourinho.
I'm not playing against Arsenal thinking that 2 days later I have to play against against Swansea. I'm going to play that game as it was the only game and nothing else.
Well, tomorrow lunchtime, it's unclear whether Malky Mackay will be in charge of Cardiff's game at Liverpool, but early indications suggest he will be. And as Arsenal aren't playing until Monday, Liverpool can go top with a win. Here's manager Brendan Rodgers.
Our focus is very much on Cardiff and our final game here of this calendar year, of which has been a fantastic year for us at Anfield. Want to finish it on a high and give the supporters really something to hopefully sing about.
Manchester United host West Ham while City head to Fulham. Crystal Palace could move out of the bottom three if they beat Newcastle, but that's a tall order. Bottom of the table, Sunderland meet Norwich, managerless West Brom play Hull and Stoke take on Aston Villa. Then on Sunday, it's something of an audition for Tottenham's caretaker boss Tim Sherwood in their match at Southampton. He's been in temporary charge since Andre Villas-Boas left on Monday and he wants the job full time.
The club and the manager have to be compatible. You know, it's not always about, you know, the biggest name. He might have done well at another club. He might not do well at this one. You know, so it's up to the chairman and the board to make the correct decision, which is right for the long-term future of this club.
Elsewhere on Sunday, Swansea take on Everton.
Rugby and Aberdeen Grammar are back in Scottish Premiership action tomorrow afternoon when they travel to face fourth-placed Ayr Grammar themselves back in eighth after a break last weekend when they defeated Dundee by 24 points to nil in the Caledonia Regional Cup. Head coach Kevin Wynas.
Ayr are the current champions. They've done quite well in the British and Irish Cup, playing Ulster in the last 2 weeks. But we are going down full of confidence.
Good for them. Full of confidence. That's what you want to hear in an Aberdeen Grammar team. Because, I mean, it's not been the easiest season for them so far.
No, it hasn't been the greatest of seasons for them so far. But, you know, things can turn around just as quickly. If you know, it's a famous saying in sport that you can get into a great habit of winning but a bad habit of losing. But things can turn around very quickly.
That's just kind of
a break of the ball, particularly in a rugby match.
But that's
it bounces anywhere.
That's why I think that the Caledonia Cup's good for them, because they get to go and play. I know, albeit these are teams of lower divisions, but they still get wins, and a win's a win.
Exactly.
Anyway, getting back to football for just a second, because we've got a bit of spare time before the news at 7 o'clock. You've got a period of games coming up where you have Motherwell
and on Boxing Day,
Ross County on the 29th.
Yep.
And then the game that I know a lot of fans are sort of looking at with equal amounts of dread and excitement, because Dundee United are free scoring at the minute.
Yeah.
But what the manager will say to you, I imagine, and he'll say to the media ahead of the game, provided things are still running relatively smoothly, is that, yes, Dundee United have been scoring 4 per game, but we've got a little bit more about us.
Absolutely. And we beat them 1-0 when we played against them. They haven't scored against us.
I thought that we did well to come away with a win that day. I thought maybe a draw would have been a fairer result.
Yes,
the balance.
I would agree. And
I'm delighted we did, though.
I would fully agree with what Aaron Doran had to say about the Cali Thistle game, that, you know, Cali deserved more than they got out of the game at Pittodrie, but Scott Vernon took the half chance, scored the goal. The record books show that Aberdeen won 1-0. Doran said they celebrated like they'd won the league, which showed how big a scalp Inverness are. Fair play. Yeah. Be quite happy for the same celebrations tomorrow.
And, you know, remind me after we come up here, because I was standing outside the away dressing room that day and I happened to record what was being said directly after the match. My phone.
All right.
So I'll let you hear that. I can never put it on the radio. Never, ever in a million years, but I can let you hear what Terry Butcher had to say directly after that game.
Yeah, I mean, we're going into a group of five games. Tomorrow, well, we won the last, won't beat St Mirren. Tomorrow is a tough one. Dundee United in the first is a tough one. If we get 4 points out of six from these two games, I personally would be absolutely delighted with that kind of return. Even two draws would be fine, because it means that they haven't moved ahead of us in any way, shape or form. The one that is potentially, I feel, is possibly going to be the toughest.
Ross County,
it's Ross County,
yeah,
because they've got a bit of an Indian sign over us.
Yeah.
But what better time than the 29th of December to go and bury that one for once and for all. And then we've got a long journey down to Kilmarnock, and that's another place we don't have a great record. But
you're filling me with excitement here.
No, I mean, let's be realistic. We're not going to win all the games.
Well, let's hope we can. That's what I'm aiming towards.
We're going to try and win them.
Friday Sport is going to be on podcast directly after the show at 7 o'clock.